Thoughts on Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 10. The king's reign. I think just reading the verse will be convincing enough. Zechariah 9 and verse 10. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea, and from the river, of course, Euphrates, to the ends of the earth. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 10. Of course, you've got to read verse 9 as well. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey or on a colt. Riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim, and so on. Clearly, we're speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. The best commentary on this, surely, or a very good commentary on it, would be Psalm 2. And what we have here is Christ and his kingly reign. It's all brought about by God's sovereignty. This is very clear. Verse 10, I will. And then again, he will. And then his rule. It's not brought about by Judaism. It wasn't brought about by man planning and scheming and devising and a committee pulling the strings and so on and pulling the levers. It wasn't like Nazi Germany with the Nazis coming to power by their devious schemes. The reign of Christ is not brought about by believers, not in committee, not the bigwigs planning it all. It's a sovereign act of God. An act of will, his eternal counsel, his eternal decree, his power, his wisdom. And the result of his reign, extending from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth, will be peace and governance and authority. The battle bow will be broken. It will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem. So clearly it's peace for Judah, hope for Judah. But how are we to interpret these things? Are we to interpret them literally, as Christ, when he came, would bring in that military, that the political kingdom that would rescue the nation from Roman domination and so on? And so many believed that, did they not? Look, read Acts chapter 1. Read the Gospels, and you'll see how the Jews, will you restore the kingdom? Will you bring him back the kingdom of Solomon? Will you do it again? Will you do it now? And so on. Looking for this Jewish kingdom, a political kingdom, a military kingdom, a mighty kingdom, bringing back the old Judaism. But Christ, of course, had come to establish a new covenant, to fulfill the old, to bring in a new kingdom, a spiritual kingdom. And his spiritual reign, his dominance in a spiritual sense. Of course, this is what's happening now in the gospel. You remember the disciples, they went everywhere preaching this king, the kingdom of Christ, this king, not Caesar, but Jesus is king, and so on. The king, this is what they said, they're preaching another king, and so on. But of course, in the last day when Christ comes again, the general resurrection and the establishment of the kingdom, this is what the gospel is about now. That passage in John chapter 3, verses 3 to 8, you must be born again. Why? If you're going to see the kingdom, if you're going to enter the kingdom, this is the point. New birth is leading into the kingdom now, in anticipation, but actually will come in the final resurrection to enter the new heavens and the new earth. That's what the kingdom is. It's here now, but it will come in fullness in the coming of Christ. Isaac Watts put it this way, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. In the gospel, out of every nation, tongue, tribe, people, and so on, sinners are being called. But one day there will be a new heavens and a new earth. For him shall endless prayer be made, and praises throng to crown his head. His name, like sweet perfume, shall rise. with every morning sacrifice. People in realms of every tongue dwell on his love with sweetest song, and infant voices shall proclaim their early blessings on his name. Blessings abound where'er he reigns. The prisoner leaps to loose his chains. The weary find eternal rest, and all the sons of want are blessed. Where he displays his healing power, death and the curse are known no more. In him the tribes of Adam boast more blessings than their father lost. Let every creature rise and bring peculiar honours to our King. Angels descend with songs again, and earth repeat aloud, Amen. Brother, sister, we are the children of the King. Unbeliever, you're resisting the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of kings and Lord of lords. What a fearful thing, what a terrible thing to try and resist the King of kings and Lord of lords.